Law enforcement issues have been before the Missouri legislature since the session began in January. As the current session moves toward mid-month adjournment, we thought we'd catch up on how things stand in connection with some of those high-profile issues. Let's touch base with St. Louis Public Radio's man in Jefferson City, Marshall Griffin. Marshall, nice to talk to you again.
Thanks, Don. Good to talk to you.
Well, we're closing in on the finish line, aren't we, in Jefferson City?
We are. Just under 2 weeks left to go. Everything will wrap up on Friday, May 15th.
I'd like to spend a little time talking about some of those, what I would call the Ferguson-related issues. And the biggie, of course, getting a lot of attention on a lot of fronts is municipal court reform, and I know the legislature is also looking closely at that issue. What's going on?
Well, actually, within the past hour and a half, the conference committee, which is basically just the local jargon used for House and Senate negotiators, trying to work out a final version of the bill that would be the municipal courts reform bill. Some know it as the update to the Max Creek Law. But anyway, they haven't got the final version finished yet. They're actually working on a compromise. As you may know, the Senate passed a bill back in February that would basically make it 20% for rural Missouri towns, a 20% cap on the amount of revenue that they can use from traffic fines, with 10% in mostly urban areas. And the House updated that, basically saying 20% for the state of Missouri and then 15% for St. Louis County. Now, Senator Schmidt, who's the sponsor of Senate Bill 5, less than an hour ago, talked to me and a few other reporters. He has offered a compromise position which would cap revenue used for traffic fines at 10% for St. Louis City, St. Louis County, St. Charles County, Jefferson County, and Jackson County, in other words, Kansas City there, and 20% for the rest of Missouri. Basically, if you are a charter county, you would fall under 10%. The only exception would be, I believe, Jasper County, where Joplin is. That would not. But basically, most of the St. Louis area, the Kansas City area, would be 10%, and the rest of Missouri, 20%.
The cap is roughly 30% now. Is that correct? Do I have my number right there?
It is. The cap is 30%, and the problem has been that a lot of cities and local governments have been ignoring that cap and still using more than that. So thus the push for a smaller cap and also different ways of making sure that people don't get stuck in this endless loop of being fined and then having to go to jail because they can't afford to pay the fines.
Well, a much lower cap is going to hurt some of these smaller municipalities, no question about it. They are so reliant upon this revenue.
That is the case. The arguments. In fact, there are also some arguments as regards to whether or not they need to balance not piling on fines for traffic violations with not going light on repeat offenders. But yeah, that the question there is that still being hammered out as far as how local governments and smaller towns will be impacted by this, and also the disincorporation language still in the bill and likely will be in the final version of. Providing ways for local voters to disincorporate if they feel that a necessary step.
No question, however, that caps are going to be lowered to some degree during this session.
They will be. Whatever final version is agreed to, the cap will be lower than 30%. I think we all know that's pretty much what's going to happen. As far as the actual final language.
What about legislation and thinking with regard to police use of force, deadly force?
Well, actually, last week there was some resolution on that, or I'll say resolution, I will just say some progress. The Senate, I believe, passed a bill late last week that would, let me pull this up here. Basically, it would redefine the use of deadly force, make it a little bit of a stricter definition as to when police can use deadly force. There's also language in the House bill that was passed last week as well as regards to the use of body cameras. And that was a bit of a surprise because the House leaders have been the most resistant to what's been called the Ferguson agenda, although they are now have been taking one of the leads as far as reforming the municipal courts. And also a surprise that some police body camera language got passed out of the House. Although that particular bill would actually make it harder for the public to get a hold of police body camera footage and audio and video. It would basically require a court order. So actually probably not a big surprise that that type of language got approved by the House.
How about the issue of special prosecutors in police force cases? A lot of discussion after the Michael Brown shooting, of course.
I do not think that any special prosecutor bill has actually passed out of the House or the Senate. I think a lot of those are still stuck in committee. And at this point, that would be a very, very hard journey to actually make it out of either chamber and then make it out of the other opposite chamber within the 2 weeks that are left.
Not much time left, obviously. The issue of education, always a big one, and a lot of interest here on the school transfer issue. Any progress being made in Jefferson City on that one?
Very, very slow progress. They've been agreeing on small and fine points of the language. We've been told that that a final version of the bill would be ready sometime today or possibly tomorrow. The conference committee that's been hammering that out, they don't have a meeting scheduled today. However, that doesn't mean that their offices won't actually issue the conference report. At this point, still waiting to hear whether or not that'll come out today.
Are we anticipating any veto override action? This session has been set up so that they can do that rather than waiting for a later date. Any veto override action possible this session?
I would say not just possible, but likely. Primarily, the state budget. The governor is expected to make some line item vetoes in the state budget. Whether he does that this week or next week still remains to be seen. We haven't heard anything out of the governor's office as far as whether or not he's going to do anything with the budget this week. But the whole reason for passing the budget early was to enable lawmakers to override any line item vetoes. So I think it's inevitable that there will be some budget overrides before May 15th. And also the governor's veto last week of the bill that would cut the lifetime eligibility limits for TANF, temporary assistance to needy families. That's been that was cut from 60 months to 45 months, or if it makes more clearer sense, 5 years to 3 years, 9 months.
I'm going to have to stop you there. Time is getting away, but we'll be looking for your reports online and on the air. Marshall Griffin, thank you so much for being with us. We'll talk again. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll get an update for the Sake of All project as it continues to address the health and well-being of African Americans in St. Louis City and County. We'll also talk about a new book that explores inequality, the 1%, social democracy, and more. Archive versions of the program available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. It's a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.